saying hello. Football fans, it's Hammer Shack. He's got this NFL program thing in check. It's the Alex Trebek of the football intellect. Next I hear Tesla dogs call him Adam Rank.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 58 of the Dave Damashek football program. As always, available on iTunes. Subscribe, won't you? Hey, yeah, nice song there. In case you missed it, at the end of episode 57, that's by our pal, a listener, and obviously an accomplished musician, too. In the realm of hip-hop, Rank, it's our pal Karen Astic. That's groovy stuff there. Black Tie honored, our main man from across the sea, Handsome Hank, and you even, Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella? Welcome to the show.
Hey, boss, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Appreciate sure. being a part of the song. I'm not part of the title of the show,
no,
but
indeed.
I'm part of the
no,
song.
No, you're not. That would be too much. People would be like, who's that one? Who's that? You know, like, it's clear. You know, it's clear. Don't we want it to be clear?
Crystal.
Isn't
yes.
that what we want it to be?
Absolutely.
Crystal. Quoting Top Gun, right?
Isn't it? Is it Top Gun or A Few Good Men?
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes, I'm. It's they share crews and
yes.
they also share the Navy. They're both Navy, right?
Yeah,
aren't the both those pictures naval?
Absolutely.
I never realized that. As I've pointed out before, that's it. I like when actors. We got to put together our definitive list of that. Actors who've done the same things in different movies.
Right,
like I've pointed out, Keanu is an Ohio State quarterback mm-hmm. in not one but two pictures. Shane yep. Falco in The Replacements, and then Johnny Utah in
Point Break.
Point Break. Jeez. So I'm not ready to go yet. You know why?
You haven't sprung forward yet.
No, I haven't. And, you know, but also I'm also a little bit nervous, I must tell you, because coming in studio, into Studio 66 in a matter of moments, Ryan Clark, outspoken.
Ryan Clark.
Yeah, outspoken Pittsburgh Steeler, number 25. Full range of things I want to talk to him about as we head into free agency. It's going to be an exciting week, Rank.
Okay, yeah, big week. You know, you got that. You got March Madness. You got a lot of
March
good stuff.
Madness.
You talked about Keanu Reeves doing the Ohio State quarterback.
So he's Ohio State quarterback in not one but two pictures. How
George,
weird.
George Clooney always getting out of jail.
Right.
He did that in Ocean's 11.
I've said.
Out of sight.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Jailbird. We've talked about Ed Norton is in
yes.
jail in 2/3 of his pictures for mm-hmm. some reason. Always in jail.
Always in
My
jail.
My favorite one is, again, Kevin Spacey. Is the recipient of being or is the subject of a police sketch artist in two pictures.
That's right.
In Seven.
That's my favorite, yeah.
Seven and Usual Suspects. He is depicted by a police sketch artist. That's a weird one. So anyway, now Tom Cruise. Twice.
Tom Cruise.
Plays a naval officer. So,
mm-hmm.
all right. Fascinating or perhaps not so fascinating little tangent to start the show here. You mentioned that it's March Madness. That's fun. I got to say, I'm such a curmudgeon every mm-hmm. spring about this. I don't love it. I know everybody says this is the way. It's too much of a good thing. It's the same thing as the baseball playoffs. Because, you know, we're doing an NFL podcast, so it's easy to just say that the NFL's postseason tournament is the best of all out there. But it is, probably. Isn't it the best?
It has one too many. It was better with the four teams.
Yeah,
because
maybe
nobody
that is
gets
better.
A bye. That
NHL
was better.
NHL and NBA, too many teams, obviously. A couple too many
NHL
there.
NHL is so much more wide open that I think it allows itself to have those eight teams from each conference. Basketball, not so much.
Well, NBA, because that's the problem with the baseball playoffs versus the basketball playoffs. Basketball, NBA, is best of seven. And this is well-worn soil. If you've heard me in the past, then I apologize if you're tired of hearing this. Just hit the fast-forward button or whatever you have on your computer there and jump ahead by a couple minutes. But here's what I say about it. There's a basic difference because of the nature of the two games. Basketball, the NBA, black tie behind the glass. Listen up here. You might learn something. I want to see if you agree with this, by the way. I think that NBA, if you have, who's the best team in the NBA? Let's say last year it was the
Mavericks.
Well, were they the best team?
Yeah.
All right, let's say it's the Mavericks. Fine. Let's go with the Mavericks as an example. Let's say the Lakers at their best, all right? The
okay.
Lakers with Shaq, Fu, and Kobe or whatever. If they played the 16th best team in the NBA, in 10 best-of-seven series, the Lakers would win them all. It's just a matter of how many games they might lose. They might lose a couple of games, but they would never lose a best-of-seven series to the worst team. However, if you played the New York Yankees against the Pittsburgh Pirates, let's say, in 10 best-of-seven series, the Pirates would win a few of those series just by the nature of the sport. That's the way it goes. The difference between the best and the worst is more narrow than it is in basketball. Ergo, the more baseball teams you add to the playoffs, the worse it's going to be. You're going to, I mean, more and more. We've already seen 83-win baseball teams win the World Series. That's garbage. The Marlins winning the World Series was garbage that year. It's junk. It just comes down to then, do you have a red-hot pitcher who can carry the load for you and take you all the way?
They're going to try to recapture the magic from the last game of the season in 2011 when the Red Sox and the Rays were battling, the Cardinals and the Braves were battling, trying to get that kind of excitement. Not sure it's going to work, but one benefit of it is that the wild card teams will have to burn their number one pitcher. So when they face,
yeah, that's true.
When they face the team with the best record, their ace won't be going and probably won't be able to pitch for a couple of days. So there's one.
Now that's a keen observation, Rank. Good for you. I like that. You actually had a good thought there.
Actually,
yeah,
thank you.
I use the adverb when it's when you use the adverb actually, it is an implied insult to whoever is receiving it because you know if you say, "Hey, black tie actually wasn't too bad today." What's what you're saying really is that he usually is. I'm actually surprised.
My friend's girlfriend said that to me on Saturday night. I hosted over at the Bray Improv after the Pauly Shore show. My friend's girlfriend came up and she goes, "You know what? You were actually quite funny."
Yeah, that's an insult.
Like, thank you for that.
Don't say thank you to that because she means it.
I was being facetious to her.
Yeah.
We have kind of an adversarial relationship anyways.
I actually appreciate that, lady.
Did you catch mine last week to you?
I didn't catch it. No, you mentioned it after the show that you actually me, which I actually don't care for, and I actually find shocking that someone of your pedigree would actually condescend to me.
Do we need the definitive Dan of Thunder, who follows us on Twitter at Dave or at Damashek at Adam Rank? He counts the Dieter Brock drops.
That one does not count.
That doesn't count. No. That doesn't count. No.
That one does not. I'm not going to allow that.
No, that's not going to count.
We race to see who can name Dieter Brock first in each podcast if you're new to the show.
Does he have to start counting the actually drops?
No, like saying it organically, that would be a good thing. If we're really, he's got a lot on his plate already, that listener. We have to find somebody else to count the actuallys out there. But listen, I'm a curmudgeon because now we're at the basketball playoffs, the NCAA tournament. And again, it's just too many. It shouldn't be this many teams. It's garbage. This bubble talk. Every year, I first of all generally admire people who can create a profession that didn't exist until they came along. Like, consultant is a great one. There was no such thing as a consultant 50 years ago or 40 years ago. And now everybody hires consulting agencies. Like, what garbage. Businesses could run without the consulting agencies before, but now they're imperative, apparently. Same thing, bracketology. Being this Lenardi character, he and his toupe out there with their bracketology jazz all the time. But I don't understand. This cat works 3 weeks a year. How does he get by? What does he do? That's my main question for him. What do you do for 49 weeks a year when you're not bracketologing?
He runs the full college season. He starts pumping it. You know the thing I don't like?
But who cares? And then he's praised. They pat him on the back. Hey, he hit on 97% of his bet. Guess what? Anybody would do the same thing. We all know the same teams that are out there. By the time the brackets are actually released, who doesn't know those teams? How many people are wrong about those? Are you wrong by like a couple? Same as him. He gets patted on the back unnecessarily, I think.
To his credit, though, he nailed all four number ones. He had BYU as one of the play-in games. He did pretty well. The one thing I don't like is when he's starting to break down the small conference schools and he'll put just Big West winner. Like, no, pick who is going to win the Big West, which this year it was Long Beach State.
Yeah, right.
Pick
of course he's going to hit that.
Pick that team.
And he gets credit for that.
I think it's a cheap way out to just be like, oh, WCC went. Well, that's a bad example because Gonzaga and St. Mary's and BYU all made the tournament this year. But
listen, it's a tune-out, Adam, when you start talking about WCC and Big West. You and it's 11 other people on the face of the earth care about that third-rate level of basketball. I don't want to talk about that right now, though, because look who's walking through the door. Oh, my goodness. Ryan Clark, what a pleasure. It's nice to meet you, please. You can sit over there. You can look right into the eyes of your pal in the Steeler backfield there. The defensive backfield. Troy Polamalu. Giant picture here in Studio 66.
Are we done talking basketball, though?
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk basketball.
I like basketball now.
See?
Well, your team, you're Ryan Clark, your team's not in the tournament this year.
Yeah, I don't count them as my team sometimes.
You don't?
Right now. I'm just so disappointed in what's going on with LSU basketball. It's like we haven't had a good team since Tyrus Thomas.
Yeah.
And Big Baby left. It's been tough for us to field guys that can play that level of basketball. But if you look at the SEC basketball as a whole, you know, you get Kentucky.
You had Florida for a couple of years.
Right.
Why is it terrible?
It's been bad. I mean, I think you look at the Alabamas, the Mississippi States, there are teams that, you know, fight to get in the field. Mississippi State didn't even get in this year. I think they had opportunity too, but they're just not fielding good basketball teams. And you look at it, so much is one and done now. Mm-hmm. If you can't get the one and done guys, or you can't get the handful of guys that actually are McDonald's All-Americans that stay in school because they go to Duke. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough to get guys to compete.
SEC's been down. Pac-10's been down. And then you have conferences. I know this makes you upset. The Mountain West has four teams in. WCC has three teams in.
Four teams.
Really? Four teams from the Mountain West.
And yet the Pac-12 doesn't get
They got two.
They got two because Colorado won.
Right.
Because they won the tournament. Game.
Washington had an opportunity, though.
But when Colorado won, that knocked Washington out.
All right. Well, listen, Ryan Clark, so much to yap about. All right. We're talking college. Real quick question for you is, as an LSU Tiger, did Bama deserve a second crack at him after they lost at home to your guys? They lose at home. It's not like that was a neutral site game. They lost in Tuscaloosa to you guys. What business do they have getting another shot at you guys instead of a team like Oklahoma State?
You know, I agree with the fact that they had their opportunity to win it. And if you look at it that way, Oklahoma State should have had that shot. The only way you can make an argument for Alabama was they were the best team in the country. I said it when LSU beat them in Tuscaloosa, I said that they don't get to play, it's justified because they had an opportunity to win that game at home. But if the committee sits there and says who are the best two football teams in collegiate football, you had to put Alabama back in that game. I wanted Oklahoma State. I felt like we would beat Oklahoma State. I knew that Alabama was the bad matchup. If you look at it, they were able to move the ball in Tuscaloosa. They just couldn't kick field goals. And we ended up winning the game. And I think it showed in the national championship that they were the elite team, you know, in college football.
Well, it seems like we're going to get a national championship game a little tournament, at least a Final Four of some sort at some point soon. But let's talk about now NFL and the Steelers, along with Peyton Manning, I guess, have been the big stories of the last couple of weeks here. And let's pick up where we left off, though, with the Steelers in Mile High. And you sat that one out. What were your feelings? I know you're a gamer. I know you were really desperate to get out on the field. As a fan of the Steelers and a fan of yours, I was glad that you didn't get out there. I loved what Coach Tomlin said, and so on. But watching that game, especially the way the Steelers went down there, what was going through your head during the game and then even after?
You know, it was many ways we played out as a defense and as a team that we could lose the game. They run the ball well. Von Miller, Dumerville rush the quarterback well, create turnovers. The one scenario we never went over was Tim Tebow throwing for 316 yards. So for me to watch that, it was extremely hard because that's my job. You know, that's what I do. Those are the guys, the defensive backfield, the guys I play with. So it was tough to watch. Obviously, to have the new overtime rule come into effect and we not even be able to use it because we give up an 80-yard touchdown on the first play was also disheartening. For me, I wanted to play what Coach Tomlin did for me. I don't know if any other coach in NFL does that, so I truly appreciate it. And it took a lot of pressure off of me, too, because, you know, in one sense, you're clear by the doctors, so you feel like you're supposed to play. You don't want to let your team down. You also want to go out there. I mean, we all have egos, and for me, it was like, oh, man, this thing can come full circle. I can actually go back and play in a playoff game and just beat this whole thing. So, but for Coach Tomlin to do that, you know, I was relieved in the sense of I didn't have to make a decision to put my teammates in a bad situation or put my family and myself in a bad one. But would I love to play that game? It was terrible.
Let me just give you the silver lining of this, that I feel like going up to Foxborough in the following weekend would have been a bad matchup anyway. With once Casey Hampton goes out,
it was bad news.
It was. I mean, that was a really tough way. That, even if you do survive that game, then what?
Yeah, it was our time. You know, the luck had ran out on. I mean, all season, you know, you battle with James being hurt, and then Lamar and James Ferrier, linemen falling out. I mean, we had a tough road, and I think finally it had came to a head. It was coming to a point where it was going to be tough for us to compete. But as competitors and as football players, you still would say, I'd like to have that chance to go to Foxborough and see what happens.
Sure.
We couldn't have did any worse than Denver did when they went up there.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I would have loved to. And for me, I'd have got to play in the playoffs at some point. You know, I didn't even get to play. So we'd have loved to win. But, yeah, it would have been tough. I mean, you lose Casey. You lose Brett, already having lost Aaron early in the season. It was going to be really hard on us.
Yeah.
But it seems easy to say that in hindsight, because I want to go back to the moment when Thomas scores a touchdown. What's going through your mind? Because that, as a fan, that just seems unbelievable. When you saw it, could you believe what was going on?
I couldn't believe that nobody caught him. That was the hardest part for me. You know, when the initial stiff arm on Ike and he breaks loose, I was like, okay, we'll drag him down. And, you know, I know they had kicked 60-yard field goals at Denver, so I knew there may be a chance for that. But I was like, okay, we'll get the ball. But to have the new overtime rules into place and to think to myself, we're going to at least get the ball in overtime and have him score. My next thing was trying to figure out, was I going to congratulate anybody on Denver's team, or was I just going to hang my head and walk into the locker room? And it was funny because I was talking to one of the office coaches who was actually a grad assistant when I was at LSU. And he was like, Tim really wants to meet you, this and that. And so I was like, all right, I'll go shake his hand and say, congratulations, Tim Tebow, for throwing for 316 yards. I mean, it was one of those things, though, especially that play. And afterwards, just hearing so much talk about it, and everybody's talking about Tim Tebow threw an 80-yard touchdown pass. Tim Tebow did not throw the ball 80 yards in the air. You know, Demaryius Thomas made a great play run after the catch. But it was a team effort. You know, Denver deserved to win the game that day.
Could he throw – do you think Tim Tebow – I'm not. This sounds like I'm joking around. Do you think Tim Tebow could throw the ball 45 yards in the air?
Yeah.
Do you? I listen. Yeah. You can laugh at that all you want. I don't think he can.
I think he threw it 45 yards that day one
did
time.
He? I think he did have a couple nice ones. Yeah,
yeah. He threw a couple nice. I think that's for him, that's the easiest ball to complete. A deep ball allowed your receiver to run up under it.
Yeah, right.
If you look at it, he had some dig routes that day, some curls that he could have hit, that guys were really open, that he threw into the ground, that he overthrew. The balls he was actually able to complete were deep balls, where I don't have to think. I moved the safety with my eyes once and, you know, complete the pass. And he did a good job.
Well, maybe him as a NFL quarterback is maybe that's the last time we'll see him out there for a while under center, at least, because we might see Peyton Manning. Where would you, Ryan Clark, go if you were a free agent? Actually, you can answer Denver, Arizona. They look like the two most likely places, but open it up. Let's say you know, forget your ties to Pittsburgh now. If you could choose any of the 32 NFL teams, you're a free agent. What city do you think? What team? What organization do you most want to go to?
If Pittsburgh Steelers fans hear this, first of all, it's like blasphemy to say that you'll ever play anywhere else. You're trying to get unfollowed on Twitter by 50,000
people. I don't want that. Yeah,
you know what I mean? But, you know, I guess I've never really given it thought after being in Pittsburgh for so long.
That's the ultimate destination, isn't
it? But for me, I look at it, if, you know, I have 2 years left on this contract and if something happened, I could play for the Saints, but that's where I'm from.
Yeah,
let me take that. Let's say the Steelers are not an option.
Right, okay, they're not options. Yeah, they're not options.
Let's do that.
That's
fair.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I got to a point and my contract is up and Pittsburgh didn't want me, New Orleans would be a good place for me to play. Just being from there, always as a kid, you know, we'd have games in the Superdome when I was playing recreational. You know, I would never envision I was anybody from the Saints because they weren't very good at the time. I'd always be Randall Cunningham because I played quarterback when I played there. But I play for the Saints. You try to look at teams, you know, for me that play football the way you think it's supposed to be played. Team I admire the way they play defense is Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm really
now that's going, blasphemy.
I'm really going to get in trouble now.
You just did that one to yourself.
Yeah, but like I wouldn't. You said Pittsburgh was not an option, so right. I'm saying taking out Pittsburgh from ever being a part of it. If you look at the way Baltimore runs around, the way they hit, the way they play defense, And that's the type of team you know, you want to play for.
Well, speaking of that, I was at the '08 AFC title game against the Ravens when they rolled into Heinz Field. I was you probably saw me. I was sitting up in the upper level. I had on a black shirt and I had a gold towel. I was waving it, so you probably.
I waved to you.
Yeah, like, that's right. Man, yeah. I thought you were, yeah, and I was like, you. He waved at me, and they're like, nah, my friends waved. But the I gotta say, well, first of all, that was the hardest hitting game in general. Three Ravens unconscious on the field, including the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. Lymus Swede in his most significant play in his Steeler career. And then it is not an exaggeration, the most ferocious collision I have ever seen in an NFL football game was you and McGahee with about 4 minutes. Right after Polamalu picks it off, runs it into the end zone. I've compared that one. I don't know if you're up on your Rocky Balboa history.
Got them all on DVD. You do. Watch them.
I compare that hit to at the end of Rocky II when Creed and Balboa go down simultaneously. And the only difference is Balboa gets up and kind of gets his thoughts and what gets out. You're Balboa and McGahee was Creed. Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison.
He was out cold. I thought something worse had happened.
You know, it was one of those things. You know, because I've seen it since. I didn't remember it very well during, but I've seen it since. And if you look at all the players around, nobody celebrates.
No,
nobody does anything. Everybody's just checking on, you know, the guys on the field. It's like people are stepping over carnage.
Yeah.
You know, trying to see where the ball was. Lawrence Timmons recovers the ball and just lays. He could have got the ball and ran, scored a touchdown. And he just laid on top of the ball and waited for the referee to call the play. It was one of those things, though. The week before against San Diego, they moved Darren Sproles to one side of the quarterback. And they ran like a little option route out the backfield. And we were in the coverage, and I didn't do the right thing. And he ended up scoring a touchdown. So I said, I'm going to show the same look this time. And if they do that, it's like I'm just going to run downhill. And all I had to do was not blink, and I didn't. And that was the play, which I'd probably be like – expelled from football.
That's exactly
today.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, of course.
I'd never play again. I'd be out of here.
You did blow him up on that hit. I mean, it was like you say, in the stands, it was moments before the place was going gaga like it never had before or since with that Polamalu touchdown,
right,
which basically got the ticket to the Super Bowl. You knew you guys were on the way there. But like you say, in the stands, even was like, oh, my goodness, that was a little bit.
It was bad. I remember my friend called me at the game. He's like, yeah, man, when I saw the hit, I just started praying.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, thank you. He was like, I wasn't praying for you. He was like, I was praying for McGahee. So it was one of those things, though, but, you know, you're just happy that everybody's okay now.
Yeah. Well, talk about the rivalry with the Ravens. You and me are on the same page on this one, which is the Ravens cannot be called the Steelers' rival. The Ravens have never beaten the Steelers in the playoffs. All right, they win. They go back.
They were mad at me, though. I said in the offseason, they were hot with me. They couldn't believe it. There's like, and you know, when they beat us bad the first game, my Twitter blew up with, is it a rivalry now? Do you think it's a rivalry now, right? And I was like, well, you know. I was like, they won. I was like, it can't be a rivalry if we don't win this year. So that's my new thing. It's still not a rivalry because we didn't win a game last year. So the Ravens are the better team right now. And you know,
all right, I like you playing the underdog role, but let's be honest.
And we'll see. You know what I mean?
Beat the Steelers in January, then we'll talk.
This is what happened for me this year, honestly. When we talked about the Ravens and when people would ask me about it being a rivalry, how much I cared, I was honest in the fact that I didn't care until the week I played the Ravens. I didn't think about it in the offseason. I wasn't going to get a T-shirt made. This was not a problem to me. The Ravens were just another. The Ravens were the Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, and sometimes we play you in the playoffs, honestly. After playing the first game there, watching Harbaugh dance on the sideline, watching the way, you know, they went for two-point conversion. They were up 28-7 or something like that. Watching the way that they approached us has now changed my opinion about the way I approach them.
It's interesting you say that, but
Gatorade dump him after that game?
Yeah, Gatorade baths in the middle of the season. You know what it proves, Ryan Clark? The Ravens have a Moby Dick, like, you know, they are Ahab and the Steelers are Moby Dick.
Yeah, I agree.
They are obsessed to the degree that it is detrimental to them. They're so fixated on beating the Steelers that then they go out and lose games to a lousy Seattle team the following right, week. That's what they do. They get too focused in on that.
That's because to them, like I said, though, it was a rivalry to them. It was important. You know, they put a lot of stake on that first game of the season. You know, they talked about it. We've been waiting on this since we, you know, since last year. And, you know, we couldn't wait till the Steelers got here. And they won. You know, they came out and they won the game. And, you know, I think it was a guy that, you know, said we were old, slow, and done at that point.
Guy just downstairs. Oh, named Warren Sapp. He's around here somewhere.
Man, that
you
guy
might, you might cross paths with him.
That guy's a genius. Y'all should give him a raise. He's like Sapperties. Like,
Sapperties. Yeah, I like that one.
Terrible.
All right. Let's look at that.
Okay, we're starting a Twitter war with him.
I like that one. Yeah, you should. QB kill, I think.
You know, I tried, though. I asked him about it. And then he was like, well, you're going to be out of the playoffs. All you need to know is that y'all are the fifth seed. I say, well, I was like, you weren't talking about what our seed was in the playoffs. We're number one defense in the league, but we're old, slow, and dumb. But that's what happened when you don't really study a lot of football.
All right, Rank and I'll have – I'll give him
I like it.
Words.
No. I like it. I want to encourage it. How many Super Bowl rings does he have? Only one. It's not like
one.
He's not like he's sitting there with a fistful of rings.
And he got that ring when John Gruden was the coach of the Raiders, of course,
right.
And then goes to Tampa Bay. They basically had the plays, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically, we knew that. All right. You're the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's the one position? I'm not asking you to name names or anything like that. What is the one position in the first round you would like addressed?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say I'd have to go offensive line. You know, but I think the only thing tough to address in the offensive line is we need to get stronger at tackle. And if you look at just throughout the league, and most of the time, if you want to get a tackle or a elite left corner, you need to draft top 10. Because we're usually a very good team, it's hard. We never draft that high. So the guy you get from 20 to 32 in the first round is usually the same guy you can get in the second or third round at an offensive line type position. So, on the outside. So for us, I think we can go anywhere. We usually go best available. You're looking at losing to James Ferrier, though.
Right.
Maybe finding a guy who can play that buck linebacker.
They bring in the Tide linebacker?
Everybody talk about Dante Hightower. Yeah. You know, you've been seeing that reported. For a position like the middle linebacker in the 3-4 that we play, that position, you need a smart guy, need a physical guy. You look at a guy groomed by Nick Saban, who I play for at LSU. You know, he's going to understand defenses and know how to play. He's a physical guy. So, you know, we can get a guy at that position. That would be good to have someone that can step in and learn under Larry Foote right now and understand how to set the defenses up and do things would be huge for us. Hopefully, offensively, I think in the skill positions we're set, you look at not having Rashard Mendenhall.
But you hope Mike Wallace, though, too, is the big question, right?
Yeah, it's a huge question. That's why I said hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
You see, I worded this the right way, man. You know what I mean? If you look at teams who are looking for a wide receiver, why not try to get Mike? If you look at the draft, you have Blackman, you're hoping these guys can be elite receivers. You know he's an elite receiver. You know he can take the top off of defense, and he's 25 years old. You know, if you can get 6 or 7 years out of a first-round draft pick, you want that. So why not go with a guy who's a proven commodity? So I'm just hoping that all these GMs aren't smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah. I saw your tweet, and you are one of the best guys to follow in the NFL on Twitter. It's RealRClark25, right?
This is
the way to track you down. And I saw that you enjoyed what Aaron Smith did, taking out a full-page ad in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Awesome.
Great move by him, huh?
It was. I mean, he's been a class guy, though. It was so funny. We were talking about I was messing about all the contracts he's had. You know, I was like, Aaron, man, they just keep paying you, man. And he's like, but nobody knows about him. You know, know football.
Sure.
The guys that know football know Aaron Smith. But a 3-4 defensive end is not a glamorous position. But I feel like he's been one of the best to ever play it. And I asked him one time, I was like, you know, why haven't you ever tested the market? And he, you know, his words to me was like, how rich do I need to be? You know, and I think that, you know, that says a lot to me. He's like, I love it here. I love playing here. He's like, they've given me enough money to take care of my family. There's no need to ever go anywhere and see. And I think this just goes along with the type of guy he always was, you know, but to basically take an ad out to thank everybody. It wasn't to kind of get praise up on himself and say, oh, I did this when I was a Pittsburgh Steelers. It was to say, thank you for making this a home for my family and I, and now I'm your fan. You know, I thought it was amazing. Like, you know, I actually had, you know, chills just reading it because if you know Aaron, you know the type of guy he is, but also know what he's going through with his son and with his injuries lately. It was an amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I agree with you 100%. And, well, Ryan Clark, I'm a black tie behind the glass there, saying it's time for you to go. That's too bad. I feel like we just...
we just started, though.
Just the surface, down. Black tie. Why do you want to end our fun? What's this about? I don't get it.
I don't get it.
The guys that stand behind the glass...
Total Access, that's so buttoned down. They're going to, listen, that's Squaresville, man. You want to hang out here?
Actually, this was fun. This is probably the most fun I've had. They made me do some other thing just now that nearly as much fun as this. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Now there's somebody else coming to get you.
Now they're sending security.
Oh, boy. Everybody's out. I don't want to get you in trouble, Ryan Clark.
They don't pay me.
Hey, Ryan Clark, real quick, you play in the shadow of it. You ever eat a Clark bar?
I have. One of my favorite neighbors bought me a football full of Clark bars. Football full of Clark bars. And they're pretty good, too.
They're all right. They're not the greatest, but it's cool. And you
they're not Snickers.
No.
You know what I mean? They're not.
Indeed. What's it? Snickers is number one in Ryan Clark's candy list?
Snickers is special, man. Like, you can turn Snickers in, like, three different candies if you eat it the right way.
That's so true. You know, you can do the same thing with a Twix. You take you can scrape that caramel off with your teeth and then just be left with a nice cookie.
Yeah, you know, I don't think my wife even eats the caramel off of hers.
Ooh, that's a good lady to have because you get to eat the caramel.
It's going to make me fat, though, if I have no job.
All right, Ryan Clark.
Guys,
everybody's yelling for you. What a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the time.
I had a great time.
All right. We'll see you, and best wishes in 2012. I hope for his sake they don't take Mark Barron out of Alabama. That for two reasons. He's an LSU guy and a safety. All right, there he goes. The great Ryan Clark. What a fella, huh?
Nice
guy. A mensch.
He is.
Did you enjoy him?
I did enjoy him.
Why? What's up? Why so glum?
Why are you not? No, what am I glum about? I was having a good time. You know, listen, it's your guy. You're going to talk Steelers. I felt I didn't want to dominate too much of the conversation talking a little college basketball, though he was into it when he sat down. He's your guy, man. I'll let you
Black
run with
tie.
It.
Was that too much Steeler talk for you?
My whole thing was just that, you know, we had to get him to leave for Total Access.
Why? Did we have to? Why do you have to be such a company guy? Why do you have to be such a shell for the company? Why don't you get our backs for once and say, sorry, the door's locked. You can't get in here.
Yeah, sorry.
We would love for Ryan Clark to go on Total Access. Unfortunately, the door has locked and we can't get him out of here. And now Dave and Rank are going to kibitz with him for another half hour or so.
What are you afraid? Like Andrew Siciliano's going to walk up here? Take a swing at you? You afraid Kara Henderson.
Hit my knees? What are you talking about?
Oh, hey.
All right. Well, listen. Ryan Clark with some good stuff there. I would like to have gotten into more of the free agent stuff and the way the Steelers are trying to work the cap. I didn't – the specific question I didn't get to ask him is, does he think that that Mike Wallace is going to be a Steeler by this time next week? I think he is.
Like
I told you, they have $10.5 million now. They made some very tough cuts. They said goodbye to a lot of recognizable and guys who will go down as some of the best Steelers of the last quarter century or so. But Ryan Clark ranks among them too. Boy, I mean, to see him rank, you're literally bigger than he is. You know?
Literally, yeah, absolutely.
You definitely outweigh him. You're taller than he is, right? I mean, you are, and that guy is one of the toughest hitters in the NFL.
Absolutely. He was, you know, when we did our Pro Bowl ballots, I remember getting a lot of flack from people because I had him in the Pro Bowl ahead of the guy he did actually replace in the Pro Bowl, Ed Reed. He brings it. He's a great player, and it is kind of surprising because people ask me that all the time. They're like, hey, are these guys huge? You're like, you know what? Actually, no. Like, Warren Sapp's about our height, you know, and it's like, you know, the guys aren't really as big as you would think because they play larger on the field. But you see a lot of these guys, you're like, guys.
Well, I just saw Khalil from USC. I keep getting confused. Ryan is the USC kid and Matt is already the tackle with the Carolina Panthers.
You got
other
that
way
back.
Why do I always – I guess every time, and it's like
Ryan
starting from this.
Center, Matt is a tackle.
Yeah, all right. I screw it up.
Some of
the
linemen are pretty big.
But he was a giant. He's a giant. Max Starks is humongous.
Jared Allen is a big guy.
You know who cuts you know who usually cut big figures are the QBs. Most of those guys are big dudes. They're 6'4", 6'5". Thick kind of guys.
Yeah, but then we saw Drew Brees come on the set of NFL.com Live during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's shorter than both of us.
And I should promote the fact that I just did a talking ball That was a fan favorite from last summertime. Where I get heart to heart. You know, no question is out of bounds is what the VO guy says. The guy who does the voiceover for that show says, well, no question is out of bounds. I like that guy. But, yeah, that's what I did. I did a hard-hitting interview with Stevie Johnson. I just want him to be a better Stevie in 2012.
Of course.
So I counseled him.
So there's a talking ball. How did I miss this?
Yeah, look at that.
Outstanding.
Look for that on NFL.com at your leisure. And then also, Rank, are you a part of this thing at NFL.com right now that is ranking a bracketology – a bracketology, now that the word's in my head – a bracket-style ranking of the greatest teams of all time?
Yeah, I was the Joe Lenardi of that.
Oh, you were. This is your pet project.
To be honest, I didn't come up with all the teams. That was kind of a collaborative effort. But no, I did sit there and.
How deep does it go? I've not really poured over it.
Does it go all the way back? It's Super Bowl era.
It doesn't have red Grange.
The Canton Bulldogs are not going to be on there.
That's your first good choice.
The Decatur Staleys are on here because
you just said Super Bowl era.
The Chicago Bears. They became.
Oh, all right. But yes, so Super Bowl era, what we're talking about. Off the top of my head, you got to go with the 15-1 Niners, the 78 Steelers, one of those Cowboys teams from the early 90s, probably.
They were number two.
Number two. What do you mean number two? You seeded them.
We seeded them. Like,
well, then how could anyone lose? If you have a team as the number one seed, aren't they going to win?
No.
Or is this a voter?
This is a voter thing.
Anyone within the sound of our voice can go to NFL.com and cast a vote.
Please do. Yeah, you go to NFL.com. And then you can vote on these guys. The number one seeds were the 85 Bears, 72 Dolphins, 89 49ers, and year 78 Steelers. Kind of broke it up.
I know the 72 Dolphins didn't lose a game that year, but we've discussed that. I don't hold them in the highest esteem.
What's cool about that bracket is we put them. Their first matchup was against the 2011 Packers, the team that was vying to go undefeated, and we put a lot of teams that had long winning streaks to start the season into this bracket, be it the 97 Broncos.
Did you have the 81? How about the 81 Chargers or the 80 Chargers or someone like that? I told you the 79 Chargers were a great team.
They were all on the bubble and didn't make it.
So they're out. All right. I'm trying to think of who else definitely I would vote for there. The Bengals. What Bengals team do you have in there? The 81 Bengals?
81 Bengals, 16 seed.
The 81 Bengals were not better than the 79 Chargers, although I guess they beat the 81 Chargers. So
that's why.
Fair's fair. All right. Well, that's a fun thing to vote on. All right, Rank. Let's talk about now Peyton Manning quickly.
That's what I wanted to ask Ryan Clark. I didn't want to interrupt. Do you think the Broncos are doing the wrong thing chasing after Peyton Manning?
Oh, I didn't know what you wanted to inject into that when you were.
I was just curious. I mean,
why? What's the downside to that? If you're the Broncos,
well, you got Tim Tebow.
All right. Well, I don't buy him.
No, I'm just saying. Okay. Well, that's the thing.
I think you. I would have thought you were on the same page with me on that subject.
But I'm asking you though. I mean, do you feel? Because I hear people. Whatever the website is, you know, people out there pontificating like, oh, they bring in Peyton Manning. That's the end for Tebow. To me, I don't understand that at all because obviously I think anybody would admit Tim Tebow still needs to learn how to be a quarterback. He's got to improve his throwing motion. He's got so much more he could learn. It would probably benefit him to have Peyton Manning there. That's not a bad – it's essentially hiring a quarterback coach who will also go out and win some games for you in 2012. I don't get that it would be the end of Tim Tebow. I think it would make Tim Tebow better. I don't see that one begets the other. Like, if they get Peyton Manning, they have to get rid of Tim Tebow. I don't get it. I don't get what everybody's...
Think about this. I think, you know, the Broncos in a lousy division, imagine if they get Demaryius, so they all have Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker's coming back from a leg injury. Mm-hmm. So they have two legitimate wide receivers. Eddie Royal in the past has been effective. And they can run the football. They have a good defense. I mean, listen, this is a good spot for him, obviously, for Peyton Manning. And like you say, I never think – I don't think Tim Tebow is ever going to be a really good QB. I think that is simply not going to be the case. Now, what if you can start using him as a hybrid? What if you can start Cordell stewarding him a little bit? You know, start moving him around, run him as an H-back, let him throw the ball here and there with some trickeration, all
short,
the better.
Short yardage situations, maybe down near the goal line. You bring him in, yeah, you line him up in different spots, maybe have both of them on the field at the same time. I don't get what the downside is. I don't get what everybody's saying. Hey, this is the end of Tebow, or that Tebow is going to demand it. Like, I don't think Tebow has much of a market to be like, hey, you know what? I demand to be out of here.
No, but would you rather go to Arizona, forget lifestyle, quality of team? You know, the NFC West, like we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, if Peyton Manning winds up with the Cardinals, that division is maybe the toughest in the NFL all of a sudden with the Niners coming back, you know, largely intact from last year. Seattle's on the rise. They can run the football. Good young offensive line, good young defense. Tavares Jackson, a question mark, but still talent on the offensive side. The Rams should get better quickly, or St. Louis FC, just in time for them to return to Los Angeles, as you like to dream about, Rank. And then you have these Arizona Cardinals, another good young defense. Plus, everybody points at them, but really, Larry Fitzgerald, plus, you know, we'll see with Doucette and everybody else. But, you know, in both those teams, the Cardinals and Broncos, let's not forget, it's not like it's a draft pick that they're giving up to get Peyton Manning. So suddenly you would have Peyton Manning, who, assuming he returns to anything close to form, is one of the top five QBs on your team. And then you get a nice first-round draft pick, which you can burn if you're a team like the Broncos drafting later in the round. Alshon Jeffrey or a guy like that coming out of South Carolina, big physical guy like that, that could be a dandy. All of a sudden, you could be a legitimate favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, and the AFC, yeah, I suppose you'd be, yeah, I mean, could be, you know, if you're coming out of that lousy division, you assume that if it's Peyton Manning in good form, you're assuming 12-4, 13-3 for that Broncos team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would be they'd be much better. The thing with Denver, though, and I don't know if this would be a huge factor for them, it's playing outside, you know, and it gets into the later months. It starts getting a little bit colder, snowing a little bit, you know, maybe not as bad as some other areas. But, you know, Denver's got to deal with the weather at some point. Arizona's in a dome.
He likes that. We've badmouthed Peyton plenty over the years. He likes a dome. Mm-hmm. That's where he plays well, is in a dome. We've seen him out in the snow up in New England. You know, those are bad memories for Colts fans over the years. He doesn't do well in the cold. He's very particular. His setting has to be just so. He has to have a good offensive line. He can't take pressure. So, yeah, I think that I'm with you. I say Arizona is the place for him to go. I think that's his destination if, in fact, it's really come down to that. We've heard talk about Manning is going to meet with the Dolphins. But the lifestyle down there from some insiders I've spoken with, they've indicated to me that deep down he won't go there because he's not someone who wants a glad hand like Dolphins ownership will want him to. He doesn't want to go to a rookie coach. He doesn't want to go to Miami where their ownership is all those celebrities down there, J-Lo and everybody else, and he has to go out to dinner and all that. He just from a lifestyle standpoint, that doesn't strike his fancy. So, yeah, so I think Arizona is where he's going to wind up.
Savvy point there, having to hang out with Mark Anthony and Fergie and Jimmy Buffett and all those people.
And what's her name for Miami Sound Machine?
Gloria Estefan.
Yeah, yeah.
Although there was a report, and we saw this on Pro Football Talk.
Rhythm is going to get you. Rhythm is going to get you, Peyton. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, he doesn't seem like – I get what you're saying. He doesn't seem like a South Beach guy. The situation, though, is good. If you're looking from a pure football standpoint, great young defense, Brandon Marshall, Reggie Bush, Danny Thomas – Lot of pieces there. But now I was going to say Pro Football Talk actually had this on their site. The Texans have recently inquired about Peyton Manning.
Well, that's bad. That should be troubling for Texans fans because I've heard some whispers about Matt Schaub and whether or not he'll be ready to go and be at 100% for the start of 2012. And that's the only reason that would be happening. Of course, they're fine with Schaub. They wouldn't do that if they had a healthy Schaub coming back. So that's disconcerting if you're a Houston fan. Because
Wait. If Schaub was healthy, you wouldn't try to get Peyton Manning?
No, I don't think I would.
You don't think that's an upgrade?
It's an upgrade, but if I were the Houston Texans, I don't think I would devote money in Peyton Manning's direction. That seems like a team looking for a gigantic for a quantum leap. you know, mm-hmm. the teams that are almost there minus the QB position. And I don't think you would define the Texans that way. Did you feel that way? Why? I mean, they should have really beaten Baltimore in Baltimore. And, I think going into this season, if Schaub is healthy, I think they're going to be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
But I haven't really seen anything from Matt Schaub where it screams to me like, hey, you know what, elite quarterback, a guy that can get you to a Super Bowl and win it. Nothing like that. They lost in the playoffs. I know you like to say that they would have been probably the favorite had the Matt Schaub stayed healthy, but you start looking at the playoff matchups.
I don't say they probably would have been. They would have been. They would have been the number one seed.
Okay, they would have been the number one seed.
Every game would have run through there.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that I would have kissed them into the playoffs just assuming that Matt Schaub's there. Somebody could have still come down and got him just because he's not that elite quarterback.
Yes, but as we've talked about, Peyton Manning ain't exactly at his best in January, traditionally. Mm. It's not like that's where he shines. I don't necessarily think Peyton Manning is the answer. I think I were an Arizona guy, if I were Peyton Manning, and, you know, listen, he has great confidence in himself, and I'm sure he does not agree with my assessment that he tends to throw some terrible balls in big situations and is as much a gunslinger and has cost his team as many games as Brett Favre has over their respective careers. But if you're go to Arizona, no pressure if you're Peyton Manning. Get that team to the playoffs and win a division, you'd be a hero down there, you know?
Yeah, that might be another big factor.
Why would you want to take over for John Elway? I don't know. If I were Peyton Manning, no thanks. That's Elway's town. What do I want to go in there for?
You would have to take them to the Super Bowl, probably win one, to make that a success in Denver. Kurt Warner's looked at as a hero because he just got the Cardinals to the Super Bowl. For Arizona, just getting there just seems to be good enough. And it's not to take a swipe at any of the Cardinals fans, but, I mean, let's be honest, your team hasn't put up the greatest teams in NFL history. So, yeah, getting to the play, being a consistent playoff team, getting to the Super Bowl every once in a while, that's something to strive for. That's a good point that you make there.
All right, well, listen, it's going to be a gay old time this week. It's going to be fun to see where everybody winds up. And, all right, before we get out of here, though, episode number 58, we've got to take care of business here, honor the player who wore that number best, not just in NFL history, but sports history. 58. Well, look, we talked to Ryan Clark, the Pittsburgh Steeler. I don't know why we would even have to waste time on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's Jack
Derek
Splatt.
Thomas.
No, not Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas, great pass rusher. Not even the best at his position in NFL history. That honor goes to Jack Splatt, Jack Lambert, number 58. That's right. Another man who you're bigger than.
Definitely, is that right?
Definitely weigh more than he did when he was playing. I think he weighed 220. Middle linebacker for the world champions. 220, the middle linebacker. It's hard to believe, huh?
Different era.
Different era indeed. All right, so we're going with Jack Splatt. No argument. We got Chris Letang, great defenseman in the NHL. Who else, 58? Plenty of them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not even going to bother with it.
Wilbur Marshall.
Larry Hagman from the Cowboys of the 70s, from Doomsday Defense. Who else? Wilbur Marshall, yeah.
Wilbur Marshall.
Yeah, that's another. I don't want to get into that whole thing because Black Tie wants us to keep it to a tight 45.
What do you guys think about RG3 to the Skins in all likelihood?
Good call. Yes, we're covering the news. That's right, current events. RG3, a.k.a. the prosecutor, as Jason Smith named him when we were down in Super Bowl. I like that one.
I'm going with Esquire.
I saw Robert Griffin III there, and I said, don't forget the prosecutor. That's got to be your nickname. That's got to be it, man. That's a marketing find, man. That's gold for you. He laughed. I don't know if he took it seriously, but
it's kind of, you know what, though? It's a little bit, I like RG3 Esquire.
Not bad. Yeah, I like that one. But to answer the question, Black Tie, I like the move, of course. They had to pay a ransom. The only thing, everybody likes saying, well, you know, they gave up 3 first-round picks for him. Not really. They swapped their first-round picks, so that's a wash. They gave up 2 first-round picks. Still a steep price, but to get, it sounds like cheap, empty rhetoric, I feel like, to say, hey, you got to have a great QB to win a Super Bowl. But for the most part, you do. To go deep into the playoffs, there are teams you can always cite. Mark Sanchez is an example. I can't believe that the Jets paid Mark Sanchez that kind of bank. Boy, is that a cuckoo decision as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think Mark Sanchez is going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. And so that will be the Jets' albatross. But are you know, if Robert Griffin III is as good as I think he's going to be, and it seems like the way most people think he is, yes, this is a move you make. It's worth to give up those first-round draft picks going forward. And instead of playing the free agent game and throwing heaps and heaps of loot at free agents, as Dan Snyder has done over, you know, his reign as the Redskins owner, this is doing it through the draft, getting the most important position, and a guy who could be in a couple of years from now, what, one of the top five QBs? Tom Brady will be gone. Peyton Manning will be gone. Roethlisberger will be long in the tooth. I mean, you know, Griffin, Luck, Stafford, and Cam Newton, pretty much the future, and Aaron Rodgers may be at the top of the heap at that point. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a great move. How say you, Rank?
Yeah, the Redskins had to go out and make this move. The only thing, I feel bad for RG3 that he has to end up with the Redskins, because kind of a toxic situation. I'm not sure that he's going to have a lot of great weapons to go to.
Maybe he doesn't have great pass catchers to start out with.
Maybe they sign Vincent Jackson. Maybe Roy Helu develops into a number one receiver. Maybe Mike Shanahan will pick one and actually stick with the running back. I wish a little bit better for the kid. I wish he would have gone to a better situation. But the Redskins have to make the move. And it's funny to me. And then now St. Louis is already talking about, like, hey, you know what? We're set up with our future. And this isn't quite, you know, these are different teams. But the Los Angeles Rams got a lot of picks for Eric Dickerson and did nothing with them. We picked Gaston Green. We picked Aaron Cox and a bunch of curtain jerkers and mid-card jobbers and guys who did absolutely nothing, because you can talk about how the Cowboys ripped off the Minnesota Vikings years ago. Jimmy Johnson was out there making savvy picks. He was picking Emmitt Smith. He was picking Mark Stepnoski, Daryl Johnston.
And you assume that if this guy is worth that pick, it's not, this is going to set the organization back, giving up those first-round picks. Well, it is different. Like Ryan Clark said 20 minutes ago, top 10 makes a huge difference. If the Redskins are good and they're drafting 20th most years, then that pick has a little bit less value. It's not like the Redskins are always going to be slotted in the top half dozen teams if RG3 ends up being as good as they hope he is.
Yeah, if the Redskins go 1-15 in 2012, 2-14 in 2013,
then it will look grim.
Oh, then they look, you know, then St. Louis looks like genius, and they're picking almost can't miss guys.
We talk about this based on my flight a couple of weeks ago from O'Hare to LAX when Tom Green, Sinbad, and Rob Zombie were on it, and I said, "Who do you think?" Because Rob Zombie was in coach in Dirty 30E, the middle seat. 30-30E, while the other two were in first class. Let's do it with the NFC East QBs now. Who gets Dirty 30E of the NFC East's starting quarterbacks, assuming that RG3 starts the year as the Redskins? RG3, Romo, Manning, Vic. Who you putting in Dirty 30E? Black tie, I'll need your vote first.
Why would... Oh.
Well, go ahead, Rank. You vote.
No, but I don't understand why you wouldn't put the rookie in the middle. He's got to earn him. He's got to earn.
Who would I rather have? Who would I rather have?
Who would I rather have is a different story.
Well, that's who gets. I'm not talking about who makes more money. I'm saying, you know, in quality of in talent.
He's a rookie who hasn't proven himself yet.
No. Romo gets Dirty 30E and Damashek's.
That's what I said, because everybody's like, hey, there's going to be four great quarterbacks in the NFC East. And I go, well, three great quarterbacks. And Tony Romo.
All I'll tell you is this. If Romo does not, hear me now, in mid-March 2012, if Romo doesn't win that division, that's the standard. If he doesn't win the division this year, he will be out as the start. This has got to be it already. How much longer? I've been saying it for 2 years now. How much longer does this guy get with everybody? Cam Newton in his rookie year is a star. Ben Roethlisberger went 15-1. Fine, they had a good defense. Matt Ryan won a division crown. Maybe he didn't win the division, but had a great year in his rookie year. How many guys come in and are immediately good and can win games in the first couple or few years? Tony Romo has had an eternity by 21st century NFL standards, and yet he continues to be under center. Jerry Jones, no, we're not going to look into Peyton Manning. We have Tony Romo. Why would we look to replace him? Because he has never done anything for that team. They go 13-3 the 1 year. Eli goes down there and beats him, and that was it. That's the high water mark in the Tony Romo era. So if they don't win the division in what you figure is going to be a brutal division, Eagles and Giants. Redskins have a little ways to go still, but you know those two teams are going to be good.
The Redskins, actually, I don't think are as far away.
No, I think their defense is terrific. I think that's what they're going to have going for them.
If they, you know, if they sign Vincent Jackson,
yeah,
they have RG. Oh, it's going to be a nice team.
Black tie.
I would have to go with RG3. I'm just not sure about him because a lot of people comparing him to Cam. I'm just like, he's more Vic than Cam to me. Plus, he's with Shanahan, which I just don't like that pairing.
If you are starting
guy who's in trouble is Mike Shanahan. He better win immediately, too. Is that what you're
going to
say?
That's what I was saying before, that I wish RG3 was going to a better situation. Okay, Black Tie, if you're starting a franchise, this is because you explained it to me. You're saying it like not who makes the most money, not who's done the most. If you're starting a franchise right now and you can pick any of these quarterbacks.
How about this? You have 3 years from 12 to 14. 2012 to 2014, you get to have one quarterback. Or you get that you have to rank the QBs, which is the one you wouldn't take there. Let's make that our poll question. Who gets Dirty 30E out of the NFC's QBs starting in 2012? We'll make that our poll question. And we'll make Jack Lambert number 58. You barely even challenged it. You didn't put up any kind of a fight there for 58. No one else.
What do you want me to say? Wilbur Marshall?
I don't know. Carl Banks?
Nah.
No? All right, good. So we all agree then. 58.
Roman Pfeiffer?
No. That's enough. All right.
Actually, that was one of the guys. That was actually the crown jewel.
Black Tie's getting angry.
You know what? I learned from Pauly Shore this weekend where you just ignore the light. You just keep going. As long as you got something to say in your heart, you just keep talking. I see Roman Pfeiffer was the one crown jewel of that bounty of picks they got from the Eric Dickerson trade. And it didn't matter.
Congratulations. I'm glad we extended the show by an extra 41 seconds to get that in there.
Why is he so committed to 45? What is the magic number? What is the cutoff? People have already logged in. We've got the download. Boom. People are listening. What if some people want to listen for an hour? What if they've got a longer commute? What about those people? Why can't we continue to entertain? Listen, if you want to sign off at 45,
isn't it ironic that this has now made it, that we're now well past 45 because of this jag about the need to keep it to a tight 45?
What is the fascination?
Just cut it off.
why don't we bid adieu? You know what? This is the 45-minute mark. If you want to say goodbye, say goodbye. We'll just have the bonus cast.
45-minute ding. It's like, okay, this is where.
Ding. Oh, feel free to log off.
Yep. All right.
You know what?
Excellent.
Is completion rate, is that like a thing? Is that what we're striving for here? Because let's do a 3-minute cast. Our completion rate will be through the roof. It'd be like, you know what? You're like the Tim Tebow of producers. You're afraid to take your shots downfield. Oh, I don't want to go for the 50-minute cast. I'm going to go for the 13-minute cast.
So he's Matt Leinart?
Yeah. He's a checking down.
You mean Kevin Cobb or Blaine Gabbert. That's what you mean. Yep.
All right.
He's checking down our podcast.
All right, then. Well, listen. Thank you for that diatribe rank. Black Tie, terrific. Thanks for getting Ryan Clark in here. What a peach he was. Nice, nice fella. And we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce. I'd love to do an extra cast later in the week to see how free agency winds up, but we'll see on that one. In the meantime, though. It's been a thin slice ahead for both fans.